I want to just get right into it tonight. I'm gonna reread, and I apologize, Dee. You did awesome reading the long form, but I just want to reread it, emphasizing on a couple of things. So, the short form, which I really appreciate, also, I appreciate both of our renditions. So, let me read the short form. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Well, what are outside issues? We're going to talk about that. Hence the name, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And then the long form, actually, it goes a little further and it names some controversial outside issues. So it says no AA group or member, right, should ever in such a way as to implicate AA express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, one, alcohol reform, two, and sectarian religion, number three. The Alcoholics Anonymous groups oppose no one concerning such matters. They can express no views, whatever. That, I believe, has done our fellowship very well, very well. So I'll talk a little bit about the one that we don't have to worry as much about today, which is alcohol reform, right? So when this tradition was written, they were in the midst of, well, prohibition, right? And there was a lot of, it would have been really easy for AA to take a stance or even an implied stance, right? And we didn't. We didn't see that that would promote, anything that even could imply that we are taking a side on one way or another. We've decided to completely leave out. So let's go to the big book because I love going to the big book for traditions. Let's go to the big book on the last page of Working with Others. And I love that it's on the last page of Working with Others because it tells me how to work with others, including when I'm talking in an AA meeting, right? When I'm carrying the message. So it gives me these, and I love the language because it's very strong. So page 103, Working with Others of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, says we are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. Oh my gosh, like that's pretty strong language. We wouldn't even do the cause of temperance drinking any good, for not one drinker in a thousand likes to be told anything about alcohol by someone who hates it. So, that tells me that we don't even, I guess what this tells me is even alcohol is an outside issue, right? Even alcohol, where we deal with alcoholism. So what this is telling me is I'm not trying to talk anybody into not drinking. I mean, 90% of the world drink with impunity. Like, if you can drink and you can get away with it, I'm not gonna want to stop you. I mean, that's like somebody with a peanut butter, with a peanut allergy, wanting to rid the world of peanut butter sandwiches, right? Like, if you like your peanut butter sandwiches, good for you. Just because I can't have them doesn't mean anything. Now, this was, again, in context, it was when this was a big issue, right? And so it could be compared with today's issues of masks or no masks, of I mean, we could go on and on, I mean, this world is definitely divided. And we, as Alcoholics Anonymous, we don't take a side. We don't even imply that we're taking a side, which I think is wonderful. And I mean, when I share in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, even not from the podium, even if I'm like in an open discussion meeting, right? I'm really careful because the newcomers there in the room, they don't know that what I say isn't AA, right? And I mean, unless I'm in a closed meeting, but if I'm in an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm really careful, because if I say something like, you know, and I'm very fortunate. My home group, we keep outside issues like really far out. So I couldn't tell you anybody's political beliefs in my home group, and they wouldn't be able to tell you mine. And same with religion and drugs and every, I mean, we don't know, because all we talk about in my group is alcoholism and recovery from. However, like if I'm, let's say that there's a ninth step topic, right? I'm not going to be talking about, and I'm not going to tell you whether I'm pro-life or pro-choice. That's none of your business. And if I did indicate to you that I was pro-life or pro-choice or Democrat or Republican or whatever, then all of a sudden I have rendered myself less useful to 50% of the room, right? And if my real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and those about me, including people whose political beliefs aren't like mine, then I need to keep my mouth shut, and I need to put, you know, AA and the newcomer, and my constant thought of others and how I might help meet their needs ahead of my own. And so I try to keep my mouth shut about that type of thing. But let's say, you know, let's say that I have a sponsee. And I can talk about it because I have, I sponsor a lot of women, so nobody's going to know who it is, but I have a sponsee who one of her ninth, she is, what is it called? Pro-life. Okay. Now she's pro-life, and it's part of her amends story that, she got an abortion when, you know, when she was out there, and she doesn't feel like that's right. And, so she has done what she needed to do to set right her wrong in her eyes. I suggest that that's something that she share with her sponsor's ears alone, with sponsees who might be going through the same thing. But that's not a story for group level, because it could imply, well, she would be basically saying what she believes, right? And so those things are all things that I have to consider for myself. I have another sponsee who, before the election, it was like 6 years ago. So you guys know the one I'm talking about, 6 or 7 years ago, big election, big feelings, big, division in the outside world. And, this sponsee of mine, she had just started sponsoring this new person, and this new person was like super stoked about her new sponsor, like over the top. Every time she shared in a meeting, my grand sponsee, it was like, my sponsor says to do this. And oh, my sponsor and I just did this. And my sponsor and I just read this. And my sponsor says I'm supposed to be doing this. And it was almost sickening, right? But they were the perfect match. Her sponsor was very helpful to her. And all of a sudden, the night before the big election, her sponsor said something on Facebook, which just implied enough. It wasn't even a, she didn't even say anything big. But it was just enough of an implication. It was an implied that the newcomer knew which way the sponsor was hoping things would go. And she woke up to a text message that said, thank you so much for everything that you've given me, everything that you've done for me. We're not a good fit. And that's the last time she's ever heard of her. So, you know, I need to remember things like that. I think it's page 19 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to look real quick. Yeah. So at the bottom of page 19 of the Big Book, it talks about tradition 10 as well. It says, of necessity, there will have to be discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware that those matters are from their very nature controversial. Nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no basis for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. Most of us sense that a real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon the constant thought of others and how we may best meet their needs. So what that tells me is, you know, I get it. Once I've been through the steps and I can kind of separate principles from personalities, I could probably go out to lunch with a couple other recovered alcoholics and we could talk lightly about religion or politics, probably, right? But if is even one newcomer is there, and I'm sorry, when I came into AA, I was very politically charged. And if you didn't see things the way I saw them, not only were you going to hear about it, but I was not going to ask you for help because you don't know Jack, right? Like, I'm right and you're wrong. And that's the way I came in. And so today I understand that. But when I'm in a meeting, or, and I take it a step further and I don't even discuss that stuff with my close friends in AA, just because I need to remain neutral. The spiritual principle of tradition 10, neutrality, is something that I try to live by. You know, there's different forums I can go and, but believe me, I haven't always done a great job with that. I remember my first home group. Well, it's the home group I have now. We're just meeting in a different facility, but the facility that we met in had this wheelchair ramp, you know, and I was out there with my clipboard, having you sign my petitions, at my home group, you know, so I have not always practiced this tradition very well. I didn't know about the traditions when I was doing that, but that's what I did, you know, and I came in very politically, you know, if I talk too much about the activities that I participated in, you'd probably be able to guess which way I lean. So I won't talk about those activities, but I didn't leave that stuff out of the rooms, in my early sobriety. And today I don't even imply, because it's divisive. And, when I'm in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's 100% about how to recover from alcoholism. And even, and I love the way that this, AA group pamphlet, page 17, I love the wording. This is so good. So no matter how noble the activity, AA groups to carefully avoid any affiliation with or endorsement of any enterprise outside of AA. And I apply that to any concepts outside of AA, you know, like, another thing that's been divisive, and I've seen it happen in my home group, this is the only thing we really don't get into too much. I've been very fortunate to not have gotten in a whole lot of, outside issues in my home group, as far as race, politics, religion, that stuff. In fact, this is true for my group. I'm going to read on page 176 out of the 12 and 12, the first paragraph. It says, never since it has begun has Alcoholics Anonymous been divided by a major controversial issue, nor has our fellowship ever publicly taken sides on any question in an embattled world. This, however, has been no earned virtue. It could almost be said that we were born with it, for as one old timer recently declared, practically never have I heard a heated religious, political, or reform argument amongst AA members. So long as we don't argue these matters privately, it's a cinch we shall never publicly. Wow. I am extremely fortunate that I can sit here after everything that I've heard from service sponsees and from sponsees who belong to other home groups. I'm extremely fortunate that I can sit here and say that this has been true for me. Never have I seen a heated religious political argument between AA members. As by some deep instinct, we AAs have known from the very beginning that we must never, no matter what the provocation, publicly take sides in any fight in an embattled world, even a worthy one. Wow. So you mean I don't get to go and clean up racism? I don't get to go and clean up murder? I don't get to go and clean up drunk driving? No. We're not going to put out some safety piece telling you not to drive home drunk. You know, I don't get to have that opinion. Not from an AA standpoint. I can do that stuff outside of AA, but we would never put AA's name on something like that. So one of the things that does happen at my home group, though, and it hasn't happened in a while because these are the old timers, and this is kind of funny, but, and it is kind of in the same way. So we got these two old timers, right? And they've both been part of the group for years. One of them sits on one corner of the room in his seat. One of them sits on the other corner of the room in his seat, right? Whenever one has a birthday, he'll say that he has been free of alcohol and any mind-altering substances. This old timer doesn't even take aspirin, right? Because anything that is ingested will start his sobriety date again, right? Now, the other old timer thanks his sobriety or thanks his antidepressants for his sobriety. Now, both of these men have extreme different ideas of what is sober, right? So one, and never fails. If one of them shares, then the other one's gonna cross share. And then all of a sudden, the whole meeting is about medication or not medication. The entire meeting is diverted from its primary purpose. And all of a sudden, we're not having a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're having a what does sober mean to you meeting. And it really is divisive. It's really divisive. And so I really appreciate this pamphlet that AA has put out called, and I just put it in the chat, AA Members, Medications, and Other Drugs. Why I appreciate this pamphlet is because it's not written by an AA staff member sharing their political opinion, sharing their opinion on, you know, what medications are okay and which ones are not, right? What this pamphlet is real life AA members sharing stories. There's one story about, you know, somebody who came in on antidepressants and or on medication and, you know, their sponsor told them that they needed to get off medication and they should not have. Right. And the medication is what has been saving their lives. And then there's another story from somebody who needed medication and then they went on medication and they were able to achieve sobriety. And then there's another story who about somebody who's been on medication forever. Then they went through the steps and realized, oh, my God, I don't need medication. The whole time it's been that I have alcoholism, like the steps fixed me. And that's wonderful too. And what this pamphlet doesn't do is it doesn't take a stance on it one way or another. It's just members experience strength and hope, which is all we're supposed to should do in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is beautiful. And one of the bullet points that it does share, and I don't have it with me, but one of the bullet points that it does share, and I believe it's bullet point six, it says, and it's the shortest one. It says, we are not doctors. That's the only stance that AA has on this is we are not doctors. We don't play doctors. We don't pretend to be doctors. And when somebody asks me what my stance is on medication, I keep one of these in my purse when I go to meetings. And when they ask me if they, you know, especially if I'm not their sponsor and somebody's coming up to me asking me about my opinions on this stuff, I pull out the pamphlet and I said, you know what? I have no opinion on this outside issue, but why don't you take this pamphlet and read it? And maybe some of the experience, strength, and hope shared in it could help you. And that's as far as my opinion goes on that. There is, not enough time for me to go into religion, unfortunately, tonight, but religion is another one that I have seen, you know, I'll just say when people change the words on the steps one way or another on our readings, if they change God to Jesus, or if they change, or if they take God out, or, you know, and it's just divisive. It's divisive. And we don't have an opinion on, there's no such thing as recovering from, a recovering Catholic. That's really, what if a newcomer is in the room and they are Catholic, and they're and they've been Catholic, and that's who their God is, right? And somebody introduces themselves as a recovering Catholic and talks about something that happened to them by a priest or something. Like, it's not, we don't have an opinion. I neither endorse nor oppose anyone's religion, anyone's political stance. We remain neutral. The principle, the spiritual principle of neutrality, has kept our fellowship safe and protected for all of these years. And I'm so grateful for that principle. So with that, I will turn the meeting back over to Dee. Thanks.
All right. You were prayed up. That's for sure. That was beautiful. Thank you, Carrie. All right. And next up, we have Concept 10 with Billy. And Concept 10 reads, every service responsibility should be matched by an equal service authority. The scope of such authority to be always well-defined, whether by tradition, by resolution, by specific job description, or by appropriate charters and bylaws. And Billian, from here in Area 15, South Florida, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. I think I said it last year. I'll say it this year. I'll escape or leave out the usual big book thumper banter of every day is the same day, no day is different, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to tell you the facts. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's are hard on our society and are extremely hard on our newcomers. And so while I might have been someone who one day was arrogant enough to say, oh, well, Christmas isn't different, and Hanukkah is not different, and Thanksgiving's not different. That's if you have a foundation. That's if you're living in 10, 11, and 12. For our new people who have 30 or 3 days or 10 days or 6 months, they're usually never around alcohol more than they are the next 6 to 7 weeks, period, end of sentence. So I just throw that out there so that everybody remembers that there's a lot of people struggling right now. There's a lot of people who are in their first 30 days of the rest of their life. And just keep an eye open for them. So I didn't want to let that go by, and I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. So concept 10. Concept 10 is about two important qualities. The first quality of concept 10 is that we are a people who do better when we put definitions around roles and responsibilities. When we don't put definition around roles and responsibilities, we create gray areas, muddy areas. We create no one knows whose job it is. The other part of concept 10 is micromanagement, which I've talked about before. You know, I say it all the time. The allergy and the mental obsession, the allergy to alcohol and the mental obsession make you an alcoholic. But there's a lot of other character traits that we have. I noticed that micromanagement is one of them. I have it. I notice other people who have it. If anything, I would tell you that this has been so beneficial to me that in my professional life, I'm the furthest thing from a micromanager that anyone could probably run into, but it's taken a long time to get there. Because here's the downside of not micromanaging. And it's the part in AA that kind of some people don't like to talk about. But I'm going to use my professional life as an example in AA. If I don't want to micromanage the people who work for me, I need to hire the best people. And the best people who are good at their job who show up on time, who do what they say they're going to do, guess what? I don't need to micromanage. Now, if you're in a group or on a committee or an area assembly or a district, if you just give people jobs because you think they need something to stay sober and you don't care if they're qualified and you know that they're not going to show up even though they say they are, but the past 5 years tells you they're not going to show up. If you start giving in to that temptation in AA, it's impossible to delegate authority. It is impossible. And I know that kind of goes against the grain a little bit, because what do we hear in, and I'm not saying just AA groups, what do we hear everywhere? I mean, I love that in the service manual, it actually has a section. Can you believe it's almost comical to me? We have a section in the service manual about what to do with a GSR who's not doing their job. Do you know why we have that section? Because too many people with bleeding hearts sitting in meetings and assemblies would accuse other people of, oh, you're going to make that person drink if you take their GSR job away. Like, all of a sudden, we should be giving jobs out based on it's our responsibility if they stay sober, which it completely is not. And I think most of us know that if not being a GSR anymore is what sends you over the edge, I hate to tell you, you were at the edge for a long time before that. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, I would even argue further that if somebody isn't living up to their responsibilities, it could be a sign that they need to focus more of their time on their personal recovery, that maybe they're not at a place yet to be doing service of that type. I'm sure there's a service they could do, but maybe not of that type. Because what this concept talks about a lot about is delegated authority. Now, it mentions ultimate authority, which I do not want to skip over. Ultimate authority is whoever is at the top of the group conscience triangle. So you could have different people at the top. For a local in a group, you might have the groups at the top. And right below them, you have the intergroup representatives. And right below them, you might have like the intergroup steering committee or the intergroup officers. The groups have the ultimate authority. But this concept points out that if the structure is running halfway decent, ultimate authority should never have to be used. When we use ultimate authority in AA, it is not a sign that all things are going well. I just want to give you if you're stay in service for a long time, you can remember that. If the trustees do something that all of a sudden is the talk of the town, of the delegates, somewhere along the line, something went wrong. Because most of the time, the conference should be able to trust that the trustees are carrying out their responsibilities. And most of the time, the trustees should mind their own business and know that AA World Services and AA Grapevine are running just fine. And most of the time, the employees that work at each organization should be doing things in such a fine fashion that the AWS board or the AA Grapevine board doesn't need to really step in. But I'm going to explain my pet peeve in general service. And I would just tell you all that, you know, listen to what I have to say and then maybe read the conference charter and concept 6 and 8 again. But every once in a while, you'll hear somebody say, there's a difference between whose job it is and ultimate authority. So I'll give you an example. There are people who don't like certain translations of certain AA literature. I'll use that as an example. I don't like the Spanish translation. How can you have a big book without a jaywalker? To me, that's just crazy. No jaywalker? So if the translation says the man is crossing the street, well, jaywalking isn't crossing the street. Jaywalking is running in and out of traffic, right? Big difference. But the point I'm trying to make is the AA Publications Department works on translations. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say in service, that belongs to the Publications Department, or that belongs to the AA World Services Board. Now, in regular day-to-day delegated authority, that might be true. And I've talked before, AA World Services is its own separate legal company. Legally, it's a separate company. But the conference charter is a spiritual document, not a legal one. When I hear people say, oh, well, AAWS or the AA Grapevine just said, no, they're not going to do that change, and it stops there, that's not true. You as an AA member, just because something doesn't ordinarily go to the conference doesn't mean that the conference can't weigh in and correct the trustees or the AA Grapevine Board or the AA World Services Board. And it doesn't mean that the conference can't step in and tell the trustees to straighten it out. If you read our literature and our service manual about our website, it'll tell you that AAWS is the guiding group conscience of the AA.org website. And I've heard some people talk about that like it's none of the conference's or the trustees' business. But the way I read the conference charter, if the fellowship is unhappy with something about the website, and AAWS or the trustees keep pushing back, it is perfectly okay for the conference to step in. The issue becomes in overreaching. If you watch Monday Night Football, encroachment. We like to encroach into other people's territory. So ultimate authority should always be the last thing, the last attempt at resolving something. Even look at, going back 30 or 40 years, AA had to get in some lawsuits about the big book in Mexico and Germany. And the ultimate authority that we went to was the court system. The way I read the concepts and the warranties in the conference and the conference charter is we should try every available resource before we go to an ultimate authority like a court. We should try every possible thing to work it out, which is the same thing if you have a disagreement about a piece of literature. Maybe you could just have a conversation with your delegate who could bring it up to the publications director or maybe the AA World Services or to the general manager. And that's probably the better way to go to have a rational, practical discussion. But at the end of the day, Concept 10 honors ultimate authority. Same with your group. You might elect a treasurer or a chairperson or somebody other group trusted servant. It might be inside even their job description that something is their responsibility. But a lot of times in AA, we confuse our responsibility with someone else's ultimate authority. I could be the best cookie buyer in the world at a group. For me, that means I would buy the most unhealthy cookies that my mom would never buy, right? I could give you the list. Double stuffed Oreos, Nutter Butters, everything my mother would not buy, right? If I'm the cookie person at the group, that's what you're getting. And it says in my job description, I buy the cookies. But if the group were to take a group conscience that they wanted different cookies, that's their ultimate authority. The group conscience is always supersedes any individual responsibility. But it's a give and take. We shouldn't be exercising that ultimate authority. But I want to go back to what I started with. It is amazing to me how much time and effort sometimes is wasted in AA service because we are so concerned about the feelings of someone that is not doing their job. And we wind up spinning our wheels more about that than carrying on our mission to help the still suffering alcoholic. And if more people would understand that when it comes to carrying out our service mission, my rights as an individual are not more important than the mission being carried out. And sometimes that becomes a little touchy. So that's it. I look forward to seeing everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Like I said, thanks.
Wow. Thank you so much, Billy. Great stuff. Thank you both again for being here. So for those of you that know the drill, now it's time for questions. Hopefully you've been sending them in to Carrie and or Billy. If not, go ahead and do that now as we're recording. We will be taking them in the chat. So go ahead and do that. Carrie, you got any?
I do. I got one.
Awesome. Come on.
Could you please talk about Zoom backgrounds as it applies to Tradition 10? First I should preference this by saying we all get to practice these traditions the way we want to and the way they're spiritual in nature, right? So the way I practice a tradition doesn't necessarily, like the way I practice a tradition, I practice this tradition in all of my affairs, including on Facebook, and you won't see anything political or religious on my Facebook because I do accept newcomers' Facebook friend requests. Now, you don't have to practice it to that extent, okay? So for me, for my home group, as the GSR, well, not anymore, but when I was the GSR, as someone who is supposed to be the, what is it of the traditions? It's the something that people don't like to say anymore, but it's still in our literature, the...
violation.
No, I love that word because that's all over our literature. I don't violate the traditions and I hope you don't either. No, it's not the protector of the traditions, the guardian of the traditions. Okay. So as the guardian of the traditions, which is what the GSR is supposed to be, it was my job for 2 years when I was the GSR to kind of, have those tough conversations with people, right? Now, in the pandemic, because we're seeing Zoom backgrounds, right? For me, if somebody comes into my home group and they have a background that's iffy, you're not even a member of my group. I have never called anyone out for that. Now, if you are a member of my group, I might want to bring that to you one-on-one and ask you, if you, depending on how blatant it is. But if you're the leader right? If you're the secretary, if you're the face of the meeting, and for example, you have a big crucifix in your background, or if you are, you know, I mean, that's like wearing a cross. Back in the day when we had meetings in person, our group doesn't meet in person right now. We will once again, but somebody would be wearing a cross necklace, right? Not my job to go up to them and say, hey, do you mind taking your cross necklace off? However, if they're chairing the meeting, I might ask them to put their cross necklace underneath their shirt, right? Because the newcomer doesn't know that they're not the face of AA. And same with a shirt, that same with a shirt that says something like turn or burn, or, you know, a political shirt. For me personally, and this is just the way I practice the tradition, on my Facebook or on my Zoom screen, I'm a big fan of a singer who's passed on, who a lot of people don't like because they believe that he did things that are not good, you know, to kids and wherever else, you know, just having a shirt with him on it or wearing a watch with him on it might be considered controversial. So I make that sacrifice. Yes, of course I have the right to wear whatever I want, but my rights today don't outweigh my responsibilities. And so to avoid controversy, if I even think that it might imply something that could be controversial for myself, I sacrifice it. Thanks.
Sweet. Thanks. What do you got, Billy? I'm sure you got a couple that have come in.
Let me check, D.
Okay.
The next question I have is where would I
determine where responsibility ends and ultimate authority begins? Like I said, you try out responsibility. You try to be reasonable and practical. And when you think you've hit a brick wall, then you go to ultimate responsibility. But each situation is different and it takes a lot of time to know it.
Go ahead, Carrie. Thank you, Bill.
Next question, where would I reference Guardian of the Traditions? Answer 22, page 22 of AA group pamphlet.
Thank you. Any other, Billy?
I have no other.
It's a tough crowd tonight. Where's those questions, guys?
I have a few. I'm just a really slow reader.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So what about wearing sports logos, tees, hats, et cetera, political buttons? You know, I mean, I was having this conversation with someone in my home group the other day. He's actually in this room right now. Hi, Pete. and he was talking about somebody calling him out for wearing a sweatshirt where he went to college. Like that, I don't think that, I don't know. It depends on how far you want to practice this tradition. I think that's ridiculous, personally. Now, political buttons have no place in an AA meeting, whether it's an online meeting or an in-person meeting, period. Period. End of sentence. fellows coming in with football shirts on. Oh, this is not even the same one that I just answered. Fellows coming in with football shirts on or talking about baseball games or talks of hockey games, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, totally outside issue. However, these aren't controversial issues that could affect the state of the, you know, they're not about the state of the nation. So I just have to ask you, you know, if you're wearing a football jersey or a hat that says your favorite baseball team, is that really going to set somebody off the way a political shirt might, or a hat that says make America great again, or the other, or like, is that really the same thing? I don't feel like it is. I just don't feel like it is. I don't do it personally, but I would never tell somebody else not to. I take this tradition to the extreme, but I don't expect anybody else to. Would you suggest a closed ballot during business meetings in which we are looking for group conscience surrounding current issues that could divide? Oh my goodness. but must be discussed. Oh my goodness. I think this is the best question in the history of tradition studies, only because I had never thought of that before. Yes. And thank you for the idea. You know, at my home group, there's something that we discussed in a closed committee meeting that we don't want to discuss at group level because it could definitely divide, right? Something that AA conference approved literature, when something goes through the conference process, we have never to this day published something that could divide. We publish things that are inclusive, like everybody, you know, 100% inclusivity and nothing less will do. But when we start getting, talking about things like diversity, where that could divide, those topics are very diverse, you know, those topics could divide. And I would hate to see anything that is our conference approved literature, which has never, the word diversity has never made it into our conference approved literature yet. But if it ever does, and my home group has to discuss something like that, I have some people in my home group that I fear the reaction would not be a good one. And therefore, regardless what side of the issue I'm on, newcomers are going to be in the crossfire and they're the ones that are going to pay for it. So yeah, closed ballots would be absolutely 100%. I think the answer. Thank you for the question.
Billy, you got some coming in?
I do not have any questions. Except for that a couple of people don't mind me, even though I'm a Yankee fan. So that's good to know.
I knew that was coming.
I have one like that too. One says the sports depends on where you live in the country. Touche. You know, I live in Oregon. Like, we don't even have a professional football team here, but if I don't live in Texas. So, you know, there is a difference.
Cute. So no more questions on tradition 10 or concept 10.
I have no more questions, but I do want to, you know, I think this question about sports teams and everything, I think, is just so distracting to religion, politics, and alcohol reform. Those are the three things that can rip apart AA.
Thank you, Billy. Absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you guys here. Thank you again. Wonderful. I know Concept 10 is one of my favorite in doing any kind of service work, you know, so I've learned a lot through putting that in practical application. And the same thing.
I got a question that just came
awesome.
In.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank
you. Who determines when it falls under ultimate responsibility or needs to go to ultimate authority? That's up to, I think, the aggrieved party. If you have sent something in and you're not happy with the response, you know, you can go up the triangle to get the bigger group conscience. But like I said, you know, just be thoughtful and practical about it. But sometimes, you know, I'll give you an example. Every 2 years, there is a thing called the World Service Meeting. Some of you may have heard of it. Every 4 years, it's in New York. On the opposite 2 years, it's at another city somewhere around the world. So it'll go to like Poland, 2 years later, New York, 2 years later, South Africa, 2 years later, New York. When it is in New York, it is traditionally the week before the General Service Board meeting in October. So the General Service Board starts meeting on our board weekends, usually start on Thursday night. And then we go to Monday. So the Saturday before that is the World Service Meeting. Two delegates from the 63 autonomous general service structures are all invited. And it's a sharing meeting, which I am fully supportive of. What I am not fully supportive of is the US and Canada general service structure paying for 80% of it when we have our own financial struggles. Now, I want to be very clear. If you're a new general service structure, I have no problem with us helping you out. But if you're a service structure that's been around for 50 years, well, I don't know how it coincides with the seventh tradition that we're paying your bills to come to New York to the World Service Meeting. And to make things worse in my mind, is we invite all those delegates to the World Service Meeting to come to our board weekend as observers. That's another $60,000. And we invite them all for free. And we pay the total expense. So why am I telling you this? For about 7 months, I asked to get the background on the finances of the World Service Meeting. I also asked when there was a vote at the Trustees Finance Committee meeting to pay for this. And for like 6 or 7 months, I couldn't get any answers. Zero. And I was a trustee. So at the time, I called my friend Howard. And I explained to him what was going on. And he just said, Billy, you might have to take the nuclear option. And I said, oh, that's interesting. What is the nuclear option? And he said, at the Monday morning board meeting, at the official board meeting, you're going to have to ask that question. See, because the way we like to do things in AA, and I'm sure you do it the same way, maybe not as exact as the board does it, but the board likes to get all the dirty, crappy laundry all ironed out between Thursday and Sunday night. So that by the time we come to the Monday afternoon or morning board meeting, we're handing out guitars and the lyrics to Kumbaya, so that we are all together just getting along and we've settled our differences in the way that I explained to a couple of the earlier questions, in a practical and thoughtful manner. But for 6 months, I didn't get an answer. And Howard was right. I had to bring it up at the Monday morning board meeting. And what happened a week later? I got all my answers to my questions. Now, I'll warn people. I then got branded as hating the World Service Meeting, as wanting to end the World Service Meeting. And nothing could be further from the truth. I just wanted some accountability and some transparency around the finances of the World Service Meeting. And there's a big difference if you're the newest general service structure on the continent of Africa, or you've been a general service structure in Europe for 55 years regarding us paying all your expenses. So that's an example of sometimes when you have to go to the ultimate authority. And as a board member, I had the right to ask a question and make a motion. So if you're a GSR or a DCM or something like that, one of my pet peeves about the service structure in a lot of areas, because sometimes bad ideas cross area boundaries and they spread. And one of the things that bothers me is I think at an intergroup or an assembly, the GSR should have the right to make a motion on the floor. And what we have done inside a lot of areas, I don't know if anyone ever watched the show House of Cards. I watched the show House of Cards. It's about the U.S. Congress, particularly about a gentleman who holds a position called the whip. Each party gets a whip. And the whip's job is to either keep things off the floor or get things on the floor for a vote. See, I believe the way I read the concepts that we don't have a whip in Alcoholics Anonymous, that we are the ultimate democracy where the groups really are in charge. And so we've put in all these rules to make it hard for people to get something on the floor of an assembly or on the floor of a district meeting. Robert's Rules of Order was never meant to be a roadblock to progress, was never meant to be a weapon to stop things. And I'll tell you another little thing that I've learned. You can just tuck it in the back of your service manual, write it down. 7 years from now, when it happens, you'll remember and you can send me an email. Do you know how you know an AA service when you might have a really good idea? When the people in charge do everything possible to prevent it from being voted on by the fellowship. That is guaranteed proof. Because if my idea is so bad, why wouldn't you let there be a vote on it? Obviously, it's going to get voted down and I'll probably be embarrassed and look foolish. But I've found it's not when I have a bad idea they don't want people, certain people don't want things brought to a table for a vote. It's when a group or an individual has a new idea or thinks differently than maybe the officers. But such is life in AA service. Thanks.
Thanks, Billy. Carrie, you said you had one, and I think you got one sent to you, Billy.
Is it time to close, or should I?
Oh, it is. Let me do that. Let's close it, and then we'll keep it going if you guys can. Billy, do you have another minute? Carrie, you guys, like maybe 5, 10 minutes, whatever's left.
I have another minute or two, yeah.
Okay. All right, perfect. All right, so let's go ahead and close it up. Thank you both so much, and thank you, Carrie, for having my back there. So
I see I have a question. I see it.
Okay.
If you want, I can get to it.
Yeah, so let me just close and then we'll keep it rolling. So
okay.
I am responsible.
Fair enough.
When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Thank you, guys. All right, go ahead. Carrie, then Billy.
All right, so the question is a really simple one. It's one that I missed from the top of when you first opened questions up. Does tradition 10 protect tradition 1? I feel very, very, very strongly that all 10 traditions that are between the bookends, tradition 1 and tradition 12, are solely there to protect tradition 1. Each one of those traditions' sole purpose is to protect the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Because tradition 1 essay in the 12 and 12 reads, "The unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality our society has. Our lives and the lives of all to come depend squarely upon it. We stay whole or AA dies." And I believe that unity is more important than anything else, even life or death of one or two. And I know that that's a really strong statement. And I'll go into that next week when we talk about tradition 11, and I'll read from pass it on. But one quick example that I can give is styrofoam cups. I may or may not have a huge opinion on whether AA groups need to be using styrofoam cups, right? It could be ruining the world, because AAs drink a lot of coffee. Now, that's a good cause if I wanted to rid the world of styrofoam cups. But if I want to make a motion for us to have some sort of a, I don't know, a blanket statement across all of AA warning us about, you know, maybe not having styrofoam cups in the meeting, although it's a really good cause, it's not something AA can take a stance on. And so I just have to leave myself out of meetings that drink out of styrofoam cups, because we have one purpose and one purpose only. And no matter how good the cause or the necessity, AA does one thing and one thing only. And we have no opinion on styrofoam cups. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Billy.
So my question is, if your area allows your GSR's devoted assembly, but not motion-making abilities, is that full right of participation? Well, obviously, my opinion is no. I'm not against things that make the assembly more effective or practical. I'm not against guidelines or rules that make it better for the assembly. In other words, like, if you have a motion for new business, you have to submit it 30 days before the assembly so that it can be on the agenda. Those things all make sense to me. What I am opposed to is the individual GSR not having the right to actually submit a motion. The way I read the service manual, that was never supposed to happen. But yet, in some areas, that is the case. Or I don't like, in certain areas, they have what they call an officer's meeting, which I can't find in the service manual anywhere. And if you submit a motion for the agenda, the officers get to talk about it and decide whether it should go on the agenda. I don't think that's in their job description. If they don't like a motion, they have a vote and can vote against it. I'm not against rules that say if you make a motion at this assembly, the chair has the right to say, okay, we'll vote on it at the next assembly so that it can go back to the groups and people can come back. I'm not opposed to anything that makes it more orderly. I'm just opposed to the basic right being taken away. Like, I believe, and it's not from the GSR, remember, it's from the group. It's not that they're taking the GSR's right away. They're taking it away from the group who is at the top of the upside down triangle. And even if the group has the worst idea ever mentioned in Alcoholics Anonymous, I think they have a right to ask the rest of the groups to vote on it. So that's it. Thanks, Dee. Have a great night.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You too, Billy. Thank you very much. And thank you.